All right, if you need a Bible, put your hand up in the air. You need one, hopefully open in your lap, and turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Last weekend, I was down in Southern California in Orange County where it was 75 degrees. Yeah, just like you do, you know, in February. So I just say that to rub it in, by the way, a little. This tan, it's all natural, friends. It's all natural. You're thinking, what tan? I've been home for 5 days. It's gone, but whatever. And anyway, so I missed last weekend's guest teacher or speaker, Jamie Winship, who is amazing, kind of iconoclast, CIA, nonviolent pastor, missionary, intellectual savant, amazing dude. I missed his message from last weekend, and from what I hear, just a couple of you missed church last weekend for something on TV. I'm not sure, involving men running around in tights, getting paid millions of dollars on a lawn, something like that. So if you, like myself, missed last weekend, seriously, go back, listen to the podcast. It was a joy for me to listen in. Jamie's message, really storytelling of all the stuff that we're into right now, was fantastic. But that said, we're in the middle of a series called Receive the Holy Spirit. And this weekend's teaching is basically the fulcrum point. It's kind of a hinge. So the first part of the series, the first 4 or 5 weeks, was all about who the Spirit is. So we just wanted to start it with who is the Holy Spirit and how do we live in relationship to the Spirit of God. But now, kind of as we have a little bit of momentum and a little ground behind us, we want to shift gears and get into all the stuff that the Spirit does. And there's a laundry list, prophecy and healing and casting out demons, as Bethany said, and all of this really fascinating stuff that we believe in, but a lot of the time we don't practice. So tonight, here's the plan. I want to basically go up to 30,000 feet and do big picture overview of all the stuff that the Spirit does. And then starting next week, we'll go in-depth. So next weekend's a 45-minute in-depth teaching on prophecy. Week after that is on tongues. Nobody will come to church that weekend. Week after that is on healing. You'll all come with all of your friends. Week after that, you're casting out demons, and then nobody knows what's going to happen. So we're kind of, that's the trajectory for the next month or so. So for tonight, overview. And the best place I know to do that from is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, right here. To start off, let's read it. Holy Spirit, would you come right now? Would you teach your church from the scriptures, out of my life and my brain and my body, all of that? But God, would you teach Bridgetown Church? Would you shape Bridgetown Church into, as we're about to read, the body of Jesus, the hands and the feet of Jesus in urban Portland and beyond? May it be so. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Let's read it. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to dumb idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but all of them, and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with the Messiah. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. And so the body is not made up of one part, but of many. You ready for this? Thomas is, well done, or Tomas is, well done, one of you. Paul starts off by saying this. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be what? Uninformed, which is a touch of irony, because here we are 2 millennia later, and that's basically what all of us are. That's basically what a huge number of followers of Jesus are when it comes to not only the Spirit, but all the stuff that the Spirit does. We are uninformed. You know, when we think about prophecy, we're like, yeah, that sounds weird. I don't really get that. Is that like a sci-fi movie thing? I'm not sure. When it comes to tongues, that's like really super weird. You're thinking, oh my gosh, maybe this is your first time, and you're thinking it's one of those churches. Oh no, like where is the back door? When it comes to healing, we think, man, that is weird. I don't really, we are uninformed. So the goal for tonight is to change that, or at least start to change that. Now, to give you a heads up, this passage, I think, is misread on a regular basis. So to start off, the first kind of 10 minutes of tonight's teaching is kind of technical on that side. So stay with me, because in theory, there is a point to all of this that you need to know. Here's a 3-minute overview of how this passage and all of the stuff on the that the Spirit does, what's usually called spiritual gifts, how it's read, or in my opinion, misread. Okay, so here's the overview. First, a spiritual gift is a gift or an ability that you get from the Spirit when you become a follower of Jesus, or some people would argue when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit later on. We'll talk more about that Wednesday night. Secondly, we all have at least, if you're a follower of Jesus, you have at least one spiritual gift. Maybe you're lucky and you have two or three, but you all have at least one, prophecy or healing or tongues or whatever it is. There are 3 or 4 lists of spiritual gifts in the New Testament, depending on which teacher you listen to. So there's a list of 9 right here in front of you in 1 Corinthians 12, the message of wisdom, message of knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, and the interpretations of tongues. Then there's 7 more in Romans chapter 12. You don't need to turn there. It's prophecy, serving, teaching, encouragement, generosity, leadership, and mercy. Then there's 5 more in Ephesians chapter 4, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And then a few scholars think there's a couple more in Peter's letter later on in the New Testament. So all in all, 20-something spiritual gifts. And you can, true story, go online right now on your phone and take a spiritual gifts test, kind of like a Myers-Briggs test, right? And you take it and you come out, you're like, sweet, I have prophecy, I'm an apostle, I have like giving? Seriously? Come on, that's not fair. Whatever it is, you can do that right now. So this is not how the work of the Spirit has been read historically down through church history. But it is how it's been read over the last 50 or 60 years, ever since kind of the 50s and into the 60s. And with all due respect, I think it's wrong. Or at least I think it's off kilter. So here's how I read it, and I'm not alone in this at all. This opening phrase, if you have your Bible open in front of you, chapter 12, verse 1, now about the gifts of the Spirit. If you have an NIV, or about spiritual gifts, if you have an ESV, this is not a good translation. Basically, every scholar you read on this text says, yeah, that's a lousy translation, but we're not really sure what is better. Here's the problem. That phrase, the gifts of the Spirit, or depending on your translation, spiritual gifts, is actually one word in Greek, and it's this word pneumatikos. And it's incredibly slippery to translate from Greek into English because it is an adjective, but it does not have a noun. Does that make sense? It's an adjective, but it does not have a noun. So it can be translated spiritual people or spiritual things, but the most literal kind of word-to-word translation is spirituals. So pneumatikos is spirituals. I would argue this passage isn't about spiritual gifts at all, because I would argue there is no such thing. In fact, in the 3 passages, this one, Romans 12 and Ephesians 4, that people say are about spiritual gifts, the words pneumatikos, or spiritual, and charisma, which is a Greek word for gifts, are actually never used together. Not one time. The word spiritual is used over and over, and the word gifts is used over and over, but they are actually never one time in any of those passages put side by side. So here's my framework. Romans 12, I think, which is that list of teaching and leadership and mercy and giving, I think that Romans 12 isn't a list of spiritual gifts, it's just a list of gifts. It's the way God made you. It's what you're good at. It's how you're wired. When somebody is really good at something, whatever it is, what do we say? Yeah, we say, yeah, you have a gift. And I do not think that list of seven in Romans 12 is exhaustive. I think you could add to the list architecture or music or writing or cooking or parenting or like surfing, Gerald, whatever it is. People look at you, software engineer, whatever it is, you have a gift. And the point of Romans 12, which uses the word gift but never once uses the word spiritual, the point of Romans 12 is whatever your gift is, whatever it is that God made you incredibly good at, man, then leverage that gift for the kingdom of God. Then Ephesians 4 isn't a list of spiritual gifts, in my opinion, either. It's just a list of types of leaders in the church. Five types: apostle, evangelist, prophet, pastor, teacher. I could give an entire teaching about that and the need for all five types of leaders, men and women, it does not say it's all men, to lead the church forward in kingdom life. All that to say, 1 Corinthians 12, what you have right in front of you, this, I think, is a list of pneumaticos or spirituals, or my personal favorite translation here is the stuff the Spirit does. Maybe write that down. The stuff the Spirit does. Actually, Paul uses a few different words here in 1 Corinthians 12. If you skip down to verse 7, he writes, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good," meaning for everybody else. I love that word, the manifestation of the Spirit. In Greek, it's this word phanerosis, and it means basically a revelation or kind of an unveiling. So Paul calls this list of nine things, message of wisdom, knowledge, healing, miraculous powers. We'll get into all of that in a minute. Paul calls all that stuff the manifestations of the Spirit. So it's almost like when you see a prophecy, or when you see a healing, or when you see a miracle, what you say to yourself is, oh my gosh, that's a manifestation. That's the Spirit of God. Like, that was the voice of God speaking over my life, also known as prophecy. That's the Spirit of God. That was a healing. She had cancer, and now she doesn't anymore. That's the Spirit of God. It's a manifestation. It's a revelation. It's an unveiling of the Spirit of God at work in your life, in your church, and all around you. Now, here is why this matters. For those of you thinking, dude, this is my first time here and I don't even care. This is my 1,000th time here and I really don't care. Here's why this matters. If I'm right in how I read this, and I'm not alone at all, I'm with Gary Bashir's on the other side of the river and a growing number of scholars, it means that all of this stuff that we read right here and we're about to get into is open to anybody who follows Jesus. Anybody. Miracles and faith and healing and tongues and prophecy and messages of wisdom and messages of knowledge, all of that is open to anybody who follows Jesus. So in the kind of for the last 50 or 60 years, in the spiritual gifts frameworks, you have one of those. Or maybe you're lucky and you have two or three. You're like an awesome X-Men kind of person and you have like more than one power, right? But, you know, so you take the test and you're like, seriously, what if you get, you know, Romans 12, you get serving? You're like, serving? He gets prophecy? I get serving? Like, she gets miraculous powers? I get serving? Like, he gets healing? And I get set up and teardown team? Like, that's not fair. Come on, God, where are you, right? And that is how it is read by a lot of people. And with all due respect, I don't think that's right at all. When it comes to this list right here of nine things, and in my opinion, and this is JM's opinion here, I don't think the list is exhaustive. Casting out demons is not there. Dreams and visions are not there. Prayer is not on the list. I think this is the bulk of it, but my guess is it's missing just a couple. But either way, when it comes to this list here, I think this is stuff that if you're a follower of Jesus, if you have the Spirit of God in your being, you can potentially do any and all of this if the Spirit wants to do that, right? The hinge is that closing line in 11, he, the Spirit, distributes them to each one just as he determines. So it's up to God what he does and does not do through you. It's not up to you, right? Which is tricky. When we get to the end of tonight, it's not like, you know, let's go out and just do it. Like it's, no, let's go out and open up our life to the Spirit of God because it's all what God wants to do or not do through you. All that to say, and here's what I'm getting at before we get into the list. Don't read the list here and think, I wonder what spiritual gift I have. and like, you know, mark off a box. Oh, wow, I have two, right? But read the list and think, this is the kind of stuff the Spirit of Jesus wants to do through me, right? Because this list, and we're about to get into it, it's all Jesus stuff. It's all stuff that's straight out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And as followers of Jesus, think, man, this is the stuff, healing and faith and prophecy and a message of wisdom. This is the stuff that the Spirit of Jesus wants to do through me as one of his followers. Does that make sense? Maybe just nod your head and make me feel better about myself. Either way, all right? Now, we are ready. Thank you. All the technical stuff is kind of to the side. Now we're ready to work through the list. There's 9 things, so settle in. If you're taking notes, great. If not, feel guilty. First off is the message of wisdom. So we read, if your Bible is open, in chapter 12, verse 8, to one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. And I'll do my best here. There's no in-depth, like, kind of commentary on what exactly each one is. And so we piece together from the life of Jesus and the New Testament, all right? So with that disclaimer aside, this is a message or a word from the Spirit through you to somebody else. Make sure you get that last part. To somebody else who needs wisdom to navigate life. Now, we all need wisdom, right? That just me? Tomas, I feel like I'm preaching to you and you only tonight, but I'm really happy you're here, all right? Thank you. We all need wisdom, right? Yes, there you are. We all face decisions in life on a regular basis where we think, okay, God, what should I do here? What should I say here in this moment? Now, most of the time, this is enough. Most of the time, it's right in front of you. So if you're there and you're thinking, you're 5 years into your marriage and you're thinking, man, I just don't know. It's just not what it was. He's put on 20 pounds and it's not from CrossFit or whatever. Whatever it is, you know, I just don't feel the way I used to. Should I divorce him or her? You don't need to pray about that. You don't need a message of wisdom about that. It's right here. It's crystal clear in the teachings of Jesus, in the writings of the Old and the New Testament, that God's heart for marriage is a man and a woman until death do us part. That's it, right? But what about, for example, if you are there and you're 5 years into your marriage and you're trying to decide if you should have another kid and you live in the city and you feel called to the city but you don't make a ton of money, real estate is incredibly expensive, and you're trying to figure out, all right, should we have another child? We don't feel called to move out to the suburbs. We feel called to live and grow our family here in the city, but how does that work? Do we put John Jr. in the closet or whatever? You know, like in that moment or whatever example you conjure up, you need the message of wisdom. So here at Bridgetown, just a few days ago, I think this was actually last weekend, one of our leaders was here at church and was walking out to the annex and saw this woman that he had no idea who she was. And over her body, over her chest, he just saw, and he's like, this is weird, but he's like, I just saw, like in my mind's eye, I saw the word wisdom over her. And he's like, I know, that's totally weird, sorry. I saw the word wisdom over her, and I felt like God was saying, like, she has a message of wisdom for you. And he and his wife are trying to figure out job stuff, career stuff, and there's a job opportunity in another state, but he's trying to figure out, am I here, am I, where am I called to? And he was just a lot of confusion, right? And so he goes up to her and says, hey, this is totally weird. I have no idea who you are. You have no idea who I am, but would you maybe pray for me? I feel like, God, maybe you should pray for me. Well, it turns out it was Jamie Winship's wife, Donna, which he had no idea, right? Which is like, if you want to get prayed for somebody, you start there, all right? And so she says, oh yeah, sure, and starts to pray, and there is a message, I don't have time to tell you the story, but a message of wisdom for him and his wife who are wrestling with this decision that is straight from heaven, straight from God himself. And now there's a peace, there's a freedom, there's a life that's over that. That is the message, as I see it, of wisdom. Now, this one bleeds into the next one, which is the message of knowledge. So to one that is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. It's the end of verse 8. So this is the same idea, but instead of the Spirit giving you a message of wisdom for somebody else, it's when God gives you a message of knowledge. So something that you could only know from the Spirit. We see this in the life of Jesus all the time. Yeah, that's right, that man's not your husband. And the man you're living with now isn't either. And you've had 5. Like, how did he know that? From the Spirit of
God.
Here at Bridgetown, this just happened to my wife. I think I said this a few weeks ago. She's in a conversation. I don't know who it was with, and if you're here tonight, don't feel any embarrassment, because I have no clue who you are, and either way, don't feel any embarrassment. But she's in a conversation with, she said, a young, conservative, kind of button-up mom, and in that moment, she just had a sense this mom's using medical marijuana and is feeling torn up about it. And so if you know my wife, she's way nicer than me, which is not saying all that much, but she's really nice, trust me. And so in the middle of the conversation, she said, you know, and this is kind of awkward and weird, and I'm sorry, but are you using medical marijuana? Deer in the headlights. And the woman said, yes, how did you know I am, and I feel torn up about it, and I need to get free. And it was launch into an amazing time of prayer and open door. So that's a message of knowledge. Maybe this happens to you on a regular basis. Maybe you're here at church, you're with your community. This happens to me once in a while. It happened to me the other day in Forest Park on a run, where like you see somebody and all of a sudden like you just know something that like you cannot get off the interweb. You cannot get off of social media. You cannot get off of, you know, your psychology 101 degree from community college. Like it's just not enough, all right? Like there's just something that you know in the Spirit of God. And when that comes to you, it's a message from God for somebody else. And you need to tread carefully. Knowledge is power. And with that knowledge, you can do a lot of harm, right? So be careful. My advice is never accuse, always ask. So if you feel like God says, this man's having an affair, don't, you are having a, hey man, are you? Like ask, never accuse, always ask. Knowledge is power. But this is what God often does. We'll talk more about it next week in prophecy. This is the message of knowledge. Now, moving on, third, if you're taking notes, is faith. The next one we read is to another faith by the same Spirit. So this here, this faith here, isn't the ordinary kind of saving faith that we all have if you're a follower of Jesus. But this is a special, extraordinary faith to partner with God and do the impossible. So if you were here last week, it's the faith that Jamie had to get in the car with the four terrorists in Jordan. Like in that moment, there's an escape route, and then there's the voice of the Spirit saying, get in the car. Like that's faith, right? And other things, or stupidity, whatever. But that's faith. And the dude, if you weren't here, he goes into the car, four terrorists out in the desert to slit his throat. And if you want to know what happened, listen to the podcast. I mean, he was here last weekend, so you kind of know the ending, but maybe there's a resurrection in it. You just don't know, right? So it's in the Bible, people, all right? So whatever. Now, this is one of the manifestations of the Spirit that we don't really get, in all honesty, because in America, we don't need faith. We have health insurance. We have auto insurance. We have passenger side airbags and crosswalks that like talk to you from the other side of the road. We don't need faith. In America, we value safety and security above all. But I love John Wimber's line. We have his book for sale over at the table. It's amazing. I love his line that faith is spelled R-I-S-K. Like faith is spelled risk. If you want to experience this kind of the manifestation of the Spirit and faith, then that means that you and I, as scary as it is, need to risk, need to step out into the way of Jesus. And this is the call of Jesus. So, faith. Moving on, next up is healing. So we'll talk about this at length in a couple of weeks. For tonight, we read this line right here, and the language I think is incredibly important. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. So healing is when God makes a person whole again. And notice that language of whole, right? So there's healing physically from cancer or a broken leg or a cold or eczema or whatever it is. But it's not just that. There's healing emotionally from anxiety, from depression, from insecurity, from maybe an eating disorder, whatever. There's healing relationally from a father wound or abuse as a child or betrayal by your spouse or trust issues. There's healing spiritually from sin, whether it's the addiction to porn or the addiction to drugs or alcohol, or maybe it's something demonic that is in your life. The point is that Jesus wants to heal all of you. Does that make sense? Not just your cold or not just your cancer. Jesus wants to heal all of you. Now, healing is a slippery one because people go around claiming to have the, quote, spiritual gift, unquote, of healing, and then, of course, charge people money for it. which is really weird. And if you have the gift of feeling, if there is such a thing, why are you at church and not in a hospital? But this is a slippery one, and we'll talk more about this in a couple of weeks. Short version is my opinion here, and I might be wrong, but my opinion is actually that there is no gift of healing per se. Meaning nobody has this like superpower of healing. And here's why. If you look closely, we read to another, singular, gifts, plural, of healing by that one Spirit. So to another, singular, a man or a woman, there are gifts, plural, of healing. So I think it's less like, you know, Kingdom of God X-Men, like, ooh, that person has the gift of healing, that superpower. And I think it's more like, this is way less sexy, but like you're the FedEx person, and you have gifts. Somebody is sick, and God gives you, hey, here's a package. Here's a gift of healing for that person. Here's a gift of healing for that person. Of course, God might use some people on a regular basis more than others. So Dr. Peter is one of our elders. God might give him gifts of healing way more than me, who is like alone for 2 days a week in my office writing or whatever. But that to say, that doesn't mean that Peter has the spiritual, you know, superpower of kind of like whatever for the kingdom of God. I think that it's more like God gives you gifts of healing for other people. We'll talk more about that in a couple of weeks. Here at Bridgetown, whether or not that's right, we see healing on a regular basis. We want to see way more of it. Pray with us to that end, would you? We see healing of drastic stuff. I mean, I could tell you stories, I don't have time tonight, but of people that come in for prayer, for healing from cancer, and there's MRI, diagnosis, the whole thing, prayer, healing, go back to the doctor, second MRI, it's gone. Dr. Peter, where are you? Right here. What do they call it again? Spontaneous remission or something like that? Yeah. And you were telling me, he was laughing, he's like, yeah, that's doctor for it's a miracle and we don't know what to call it because we don't believe in that, right? So we've seen drastic like MRI before, after kind of healing from drastic stuff like cancer. But then on a regular basis, we just see it in kind of small, ordinary, beautiful ways. So a couple of weeks ago, and we pray for healing basically every single weekend. A couple of weeks ago, there was a word from one of our leaders during worship, had a pain in his wrist, and said, I think my wrist is fine. I think this is actually the Spirit saying there's somebody here with a wrist pain that Jesus wants to do a healing work in. So stand up here during worship in the back end. Hey, if you have pain in your wrist, we would love to pray for you. So a couple of people come for prayer. One was a woman that myself and Peter and our wives pray with, and all sorts of wrist pain, and she was not healed, sadly. But it was actually a beautiful moment. There was a word of prophecy over her and her marriage. And it was like, even though it was sad that like she was not healed, but still she went away with tears of joy and a freedom and a life. So that was cool. But then there was another guy, and this is secondhand because I wasn't there. I was praying with somebody else. But there was another guy who comes up. Yeah, my wrist is like totally like I can't move it. All sorts of pain. Can't do anything with it. So two of our leaders lay hands on his wrist, start to pray over him. After a couple of minutes, hey, how's the wrist feel? It's like, man, I can move it way better. Is it 100%? No, but it's like 75%. Well, let's keep praying. So, and that's how healing works a lot in stages. We'll talk about that. So keep praying. A couple minutes later, how is it now? Man, I think it's 100%. And so one of the leaders goes, all right, prove it. Get down, drop down, give me 20. So the guy, maybe you saw this a couple of weeks ago. We're right in the middle of worship. It's like this intimate moment on the back end of like, Jesus. And there's a dude over there just sucking wind. He's like, yes, it's working great. It's awesome. No pain, right? So all that to say, this is something that we see and we want to see way more of tonight. Maybe even you're here tonight and there's something that you need healing for. We would love to pray over you and see if Jesus wants to do that. We'll talk more about that in a couple of weeks. Fifth, if you're taking notes, is miraculous powers. To another, we read, is miraculous powers. Even that language sounds really weird. I mean, you're thinking, man, it's 2015. We don't believe in that stuff anymore. This is Portland, Oregon. I went to community college. I don't buy it, right? But the reality is that we read about miracles all through the scriptures. In the Old Testament with Moses and Elijah and Elisha. Then in the Gospels with Jesus walking on water and feeding thousands of people with a little boy's lunch. And then in the book of Acts and the writings of the New Testament with Jesus' followers. Not only the 12, but all sorts of Jesus' followers. And then down through church history, story after story, every continent all over the world. And then in the world today. Now, honestly, we don't see this at Bridgetown. I have no story to tell you of miraculous powers at work in Bridgetown. But we do see this all around the world, in particular in the developing world, where people are desperate and don't have Twitter. You see this a lot. Which I wonder if those two things go together. You see this a lot. You know. So I think I told this story a few weeks ago, but I was in India a few years ago with some friends, and I was at this kind of prayer gathering, and I was there, and I was hearing story after story. And what God is doing in India right now is unbelievable. And I was hearing story after story, signs and wonders, and in particular, resurrection. And India, unlike here, is not a secular society. It is a spiritual society to the hilt, educated or uneducated, because of Hinduism and because of the move of God. It is over the top, crazy, insane, nothing like it that I know of in the world, spiritual. And so I was hearing story after story after story, and I was just skeptical. Like, I'm just, the way I'm wired, I'm incredibly skeptical. So I know some of you are like me, and I'm sorry. But I'm incredibly skeptical. And so I'm in the back, of course, like that guy. And story after story, and there's this pastor that I'm with, amazing guy. He's a Sikh, you know, turban on his head, but follower of Jesus. And I lean over, and I'm like, dude, I just don't know if I can believe this stuff. Have you ever actually been there for a resurrection, like in your church or something? Have you ever actually, with your own two eyes? And he goes, oh, yes. I said, really? I said, my wife. Your wife? She was dead for 2 days, but we pray for her. She's over there now. Like, wait, what? No, you know? So maybe he was lying, maybe, I don't know. But like, this is the stuff that God does, not just in the scriptures, not just an obscure history book about the 14th century. This is what Jesus is all about all over the world, even today. Now, moving on, is the next one on the list is prophecy. If you look down at verse 10, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy. Now, we'll talk at length about this next week. I cannot wait. It's one of my favorites. For today, prophecy, and if that is weird language to you, just call it listening prayer or whatever is less weird for you. But prophecy is when you get a word or a phrase or a scripture a lot of the time or a picture in your mind's eye or maybe like a short film or maybe even a sense or it could be a dream or a vision in the middle of the night that is from the Spirit, maybe for you, but usually for somebody else. I love this definition. It's from a really good book on prophecy of what it is. Quote, prophecy is a phenomenon that results directly from the access the Holy Spirit has to our minds. We'll talk more about this next week. Whereby he can create pictures in our imagination and supernatural dreams while we are asleep. He can put words, ideas, or scriptures into our heads with such force that we know that there is something that carries with it the responsibility to pass on and relay what the Holy Spirit has communicated. Here at Bridgetown, we see this on a regular basis. We see it more and more as we are really trying to grow in listening prayer or prophecy or whatever you want to call it. Just this last week, when I was down in Southern California in 75 degrees, did I mention that? It was fantastic. So I'm down there, and I had a chance to go up and spend an evening with three of the founders of the Vineyard. Maybe you don't know what that is, but it was an amazing move of God in the 80s and 90s. And three of the founders, John Wimber, if you know who that is, it was his sister-in-law was there, and all basically came to pray for me. So I go to my buddy Darren's house in Long Beach, and we all show up, and this guy Bob Fulton, one of the leaders, amazing guy, he walks up and he says, man, here's all I know about you. We go to pray, right? And he goes, here's all I know about you. I know your name's John Mark. I don't know what your last name is. I know you lead a church in Portland, and I know you're a teacher. That's all I know. And he's, you know, upwards of 80, not in the internet kind of guy, right? And so he says, but you know, I've been praying for you all day long for this evening, and I just have three things that I feel like I think are from God for you. And he goes first, and he starts to go off, and it's just like jaw drop open to the floor, clean up the saliva, right? Like, you don't get that off the internet. You don't get that out of psychology. The way that he was able to speak right into my life just that day, that afternoon, I was really down about, and this is a whole separate teaching at some point, and I've done a few, but some of you know that I really have a heart for consumerism and the way that it is just wreaking havoc in the American church. Even the way the American church is usually set up is all based around it, and I think it is just literally eating the American church from the inside out. And so this is something that's heavy on my heart, and we were there, we had a time of worship before prayer, and we're sitting in worship, and I'm literally just in the back, on a couch, And I'm just literally just sad about consumerism and the way that it is in the church. One of the reasons that we do missional communities because it's so not easy and fun and popular for consumer Christians, right? Like, I don't want that. So I'm just really heavy on my heart. First thing the guy goes, he doesn't know me from Adam, he goes, John Mark, God's called you to break the spirit of consumerism in the American church. This is heavy on your heart, you're sad about it tonight, God says don't feel discouragement, and he just starts going off. And I'm just like, Jesus, yes, you know, whatever. So I mean, and then he goes off, and he starts to speak into my family, family of origin. I mean, just crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. So this is prophecy. This is how it works. This is when God puts words and phrases and scriptures and images and stuff into your mind or somebody's mind for you to speak with a lot of humility, and we'll talk about that next week, and we don't, you know, God told me we don't say that. We'll talk about it all next week to other people. This is what God is like, a speaking God. Now, two or three more. The next one on the list is the distinguishing between spirits. So do another prophecy to another, distinguishing between spirits. This is the ability or the sense to know if something, an event, a conversation, a prophecy, a miracle, a manifestation of some kind, to know whether or not it's from the Spirit of God or another spirit or another demon or another so-called God. Put another way, it's the ability to know what Jesus is up to and what the enemy is up to. And I mean the spiritual kind of enemy that we all face. So just the other day, I got an email from a friend of mine named Miguel who leads a church in Northern Europe. And he said this in his email. Tonight, it's really short. He said, tonight during worship, I had this sense that God was saying something to you and for Bridgetown. What I think, and by the way, we're not close friends. We don't, you know, email barely at all. What I think I've heard was to break the spirit of death and suicide among the people. There are young people struggling with thoughts of suicide. Hopelessness has settled in. Death is sitting on people's minds. And God wants to break that with a spirit of hope and freedom. And if you know our church right now, that is absolutely true. There are people I know incredibly well that are right in that spot of death, of suicide, of hopelessness. And this is a way, this is kind of a combo of a word of knowledge. Like, how does he know that? Well, maybe it's just like it's Portland and it's February, so of course we're all sad. But whatever. Other than that, it's also, this is a discernment or distinguishing between spirits. You know, like there are demonic powers that, as crazy as it sounds, are absolutely real. And if you don't believe that's true, then you're insane. There are demonic powers alive and well in the city, at war with Bridgetown Church, and right now, for a number of you, those demonic powers are stirring thoughts in the back of your mind of hopelessness. This will always be this way. It will never get better. This is who I am. This is what God's, this is my lot in life. And with that, thoughts of suicide and even of death. And you just need to know that tonight there's hope that God can and will break that spirit of death over you. We just speak against those demonic powers. We speak them out of this room, out of your mind's eye, out of your imagination, out of your heart, out of your shoulders, and we speak truth over you. You are a child of God. The love of God is over you. There's freedom. You will not always be how you are. There are lows in life. There are also highs, and God will lead you forward one day at a time. So come tonight for prayer. We'd love to pray over you. We'd love to see freedom and hope fill your soul again. And we need this ability to discern what is Jesus up to in this season and what is the enemy up to. We did this just a few days ago at our elder meeting. We just had a time of listening and prayer and just said, all right, God, give us a sense. What do we need to know about this coming season? About what are you up to, Jesus? What are you trying to do? And what is the enemy up to? And it was incredibly enlightening for how we go forward. Now, two more before we wrap up. And that is two that kind of go together, tongues and the interpretation of tongues, right? So that's the next line, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues or languages, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. Now tongues, it's really kind of weird to translate it that way. In Greek, it's the word glossa, where we get the word glossary. All it means is languages. So a tongue is a language, and that's a little bit less weird sounding. It's when you speak in a tongue or in a language, listen, we'll talk about this in a couple of weeks, that you don't understand. So it's not like, oh, I was in, you know, high school Spanish. I know that one. No, it's one that you don't understand as an act of prayer and praise to God. So we'll talk about this in a couple of weeks. Prophecy is to God's people. It's to somebody else. But a tongue is never to God's people. It's always to God. It's prayer, it's praise to God. And the interpretation of tongues is when somebody else is speaking in a tongue or in a language that you don't understand, that they don't understand, but all of a sudden it makes sense in your mind's eye. You know what he or she is saying. And then you stand up and you give the interpretation of the tongue or the language for the church. This is actually the one and only manifestation of the Spirit that is for you and not for somebody else, which is why we think Paul puts it at the end of the list. And it's also because the Corinthians, if you know this letter at all, were making a really big deal out of tongues, which is ironic because that's exactly what a lot of Pentecostals do today, or just a lot of people do today. And we think that at the end of the list is Paul's kind of subtle and ingenious way of saying, listen, this is a thing, but it's not the thing. It's just not. And we'll talk more about that in a couple of weeks. That said, it is an amazing manifestation of the Spirit. A lot of people here, you might not know this, at Bridgetown speak in tongues, including myself, a ton of your leadership. You don't see it on the weekend gatherings for reasons that we'll talk about because of Paul's writing to the Corinthians, for reasons that we'll talk about in a couple of weeks. But this is something that a lot of us enjoy and express for intimacy with God, for prayer, for praise, when language just starts to fail you and break down, to just kick you into a new space in your intimacy with Jesus. And it's really beautiful, and we'll talk about it in a couple of weeks, and it's not nearly as weird as it sounds. So, there it is, the list of the nine manifestations. I don't think it's exhaustive, but the nine manifestations of the Spirit: message of wisdom, message of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. That is the kind of stuff, listen, that the Spirit of Jesus wants to do through you to carry on the kingdom work of Jesus. And make sure you get that last part, to carry on the kingdom work of Jesus, which is why Paul's closing line, if you look at chapter 12, verse 12, is just as a body, though one has many parts, but its many parts form one body, so it is with the Messiah. And then at the end of 14, and so the body is not made up of one part, but of many. So notice that Paul goes straight from the list of the nine manifestations of the Spirit to the analogy of how we as the church, as Jesus' followers, as how we're his body, we're his hands, we're his feet, we're his legs, we're the tangible flesh and blood expression of Jesus to the world. I love this quote from the writer Frank Viola. He has this to say: evil spirits desire to inhabit bodies because they crave expression. That's the whole point of possession. They seek to take over a human body so that they can express themselves through it, employing it for wicked purposes on the earth. Jesus Christ is now in the Spirit, and he also craves expression. He seeks to make his life visible through a many-membered being. The body of Christ, or the church, exists, I love it, to express God in the earth. That's why we exist, Bridgetown Church. That's why we're here in the urban core of Portland. We exist to express God right here in the urban core of Portland, Oregon. This isn't about a spiritual high or an experience or play for church people. This is about the kingdom of God. You know, there's a lot of talk right now in the church at large about the kingdom of God, and which is great, it's fantastic. There's kind of a resurgence in that way of thinking and the teachings of Jesus. The problem is that a lot of people say kingdom of God and mean social justice, which we're all for, we do a ton of it. Or good works, which we're all for, we do a ton of that. And I'm sure there's truth in that, but a lot of times people say, well, you know, I mentor a child, it's the kingdom of God. I clean up the park by my house once a quarter, it's the kingdom of God. And I'm sure there's some truth in that. I have no doubt that's the kind of stuff that Jesus would be about. I read this morning in Acts, which a ton of you, that Jesus, quote, went around doing good. So that's what it's like to be a follower of Jesus. We go around doing good in our neighborhood, in our community. So like, I'm for all of that stuff. But listen, when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the bulk of Jesus' kingdom work is not spreading bark dust at his local elementary school. Nothing wrong with that. In fact, it's beautiful. Go for it. But the bulk of Jesus' kingdom work was healing the sick, casting out demons, prophesying, and preaching the gospel. That's it. So if we want to be about the kingdom of God in this city, we have to do more than spread bark dust. Not less, but more. We have to do more than sign up for this charity and volunteer. Not less, but we have to be about. If we want to be kingdom people, we have to be about healing the sick, casting out demons, prophesying and preaching the gospel of Jesus. Whatever else that other stuff is, which is all fantastic, this for sure is the bread and the butter of the kingdom of God. This is what it's all about. Now, I don't know where you're at with all of this stuff. Some of you are here, Tomas, you're like, I'm all in, or whatever, you know? Like, you're just all in. Who's sick? Like, come over, let's do it now. Others of you, this is just freaking you out. You're like, I thought this was a church for, like, people with the Bible. Come on. Others of you, this is all new to you, and you're kind of a blank canvas, and I don't really know anything about this. Some of you grew up in a church that had this stuff, but it was weird and wacky, and there was abuse after abuse, and so there's all sorts of trust issues that you, and I don't blame you at all, have when it comes to the Spirit. And that's okay. Wherever you are at on the spectrum, we're just happy you're here. Don't go anywhere. Hopefully over the next month or two, I will win you over, not with my arm. I don't really have any, but maybe a scotch. But with teaching from the scriptures in passage after passage, because it's all over the Bible. But that said, as we start to wrap up, you know, I see three postures when it comes to all the stuff that the Spirit does, everything that we're getting into. One is closed. So some people are just closed off to this. They just want nothing to do with it. It's too weird. It's too dangerous. It's too goofy. It's too subjective. It goes awry. It's the John MacArthurs of the world, right? And we're just closed off to all of this stuff. Other people are open. They're like, no, man, I believe in it. Maybe I don't practice it, but I believe in it, and I'm open, and I want the Spirit of God in my life. And then other people are actively seeking, like day after day, asking the Spirit of Jesus, would you do this kind of stuff through me? Here I am. I'm all yours. I want to be about the kingdom of God. I want to be your body. I want to be your expression to Portland and beyond. This is it. And so wherever you're at in the spectrum, you're absolutely welcome here. If you're in that first camp, if you're closed, over the next few weeks, would you rethink that? With your Bible open, test everything that I say and everything that we do, test it all, but would you rethink it? And where we're at as a church, I think, is kind of moving from open to actively seeking. Right, we've been in that open spot for years of like, yeah, sure, we believe in all of it. We don't do any of it, but we believe it. And I'm just tired of not doing stuff that I believe. I'm just tired of that. Like, I'm sick and tired of it. Let's do what we believe. And I think that's kind of what Jesus was about. So we're now moving into the spot of actively seeking. We just want all of this stuff, not in a weird, goofy, you know, funky way, but we want all that God has for us in the Spirit, in the kingdom, here at Bridgetown Church. And so if you're there, if you are ready or at least getting ready for that, then tonight I think the call is just to open up your life to all that the Spirit has for you. Maybe ask yourself as we go into worship now, what's standing between you and the manifestations of the Spirit through you? Is it apathy? Is it theology, like you just don't even believe in it? Is it busyness? You're like, I believe, but I'm just, whoa, I work a lot. Is it unbelief? Is it fear? What is it? And would you let God identify that? Would you let God expose that and call that out and set you free? And would you just step into all that God has for you? Bridgetown Church, this is what it means to follow Jesus. This is not like weird stuff off on the fringe. This is the kingdom of God. It's what it means to be Jesus' body, to be his expression to the city of Portland and beyond.